Now, Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. I like to say that I offer my clients exceptional service that moves you. Every week, I will be providing you with real estate topics ranging from home buyer and home seller advice, legal matters, insurance binders, flood insurance concerns, home inspection questions, environmental worries like radon, lead paint, and mold, mortgages and loan programs, staging tips and ideas, real estate contracts, market trends, home values, and more. It's a talk radio show, and sometimes we are even interactive, so you can follow along online. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. If you missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to one again, you can listen on my podcast at talkrealestateradio.com. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me regarding your home sale or your home purchase, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. And good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara, and you are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and the one and only Cindy Ford. We, of course, are both from Boston Connect Real Estate, located here on the South Shore, not too far from the radio station, which is really nice for us. And happy Saturday to everybody. And to, before I forget, to all of the dads, happy Father's Day, right?
For tomorrow.
Yeah, so today is Saturday. Tomorrow is Sunday. We have happy Father's Day. So hopefully everybody will have nice weather for their cookouts and lobsters and all that good stuff. So you have any good plans? What's the story with you?
I got nothing for Mother's Day, so there'll be nothing for Father's Day.
So if he's listening right now, don't expect anything.
Just saying.
There'll be no basket for you.
Nope. Nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I got anything for Mother's Day this year either.
I said happy Mother's Day.
Well, I have a father. You have a father. So what are you gonna do for your dad?
Well, Papa, Papa needs new slippers. If you can see the bottom, I'm just laughing because there's no sole. I bought them for Christmas. What he's doing with them, I don't know. So he's getting a book of a movie that I saw, Finest Hours.
Okay.
So he's getting that and slippers, and my dad something from Omaha Steaks or money.
Yeah, well, you could have been a little general, because doesn't Papa listen to the show every week, and your dad?
My dad does. Papa can't hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Papa can't hear
He can't hear the kettle either, and that's why we've had so many fires at your house, but whatever. So, anyways, well, that's good. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do for my dad. He said he didn't really want anything because I sent a cleaning lady over to his house recently. Yeah, just to, you know, clean up and, you know, dust and do all that stuff. So that's what I did. And he said that he was happy with that. But we'll figure it all out tomorrow.
I'm sure you'll figure something out.
Yes,
I know you.
Absolutely. So last week's show, we had a really good show. So last week we had on Steve Cook from Imperial.
We did.
The GoFundMe page has not been started yet, but our videos will be up
soon.
Yeah, we'll get that going. But it was
the radon. Yeah.
Yes. So I did get some feedback actually from my dad. My dad stopped in this week.
Oh, what did he say
to the show? He said, you know, I really like your show. You know, I like it when you're alone. I like it when Cindy's alone. But when the two of you are together, you laugh way too much. So that's the critics out there. That's my dad.
No, my dad said the same thing, 88, and he said, you know, he goes, the two of you just start laughing. We can't help
it.
Yeah. But
We're just going to bring it down today, though.
We're going to try.
I mean, but I don't want people to get the wrong idea. Of course, we're professionals.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're dealing
all
with
day long.
What we're doing, and, you know. But people
sometimes
have to,
we think we're funny.
Yeah, well, they have to join our party. If they could ever think the things we're really thinking in our head, my goodness.
Right?
Yeah, but last week in particular was very, very funny. So if you think we're too funny, we're sorry. But if you love that we are, then good. I'm glad, because so do we.
We do.
So you joined our party. We're really happy about it. We know Ryan thinks we're funny. Right.
You need to start your Saturday morning with a laugh, don't you think?
Absolutely. I was going to say, do your parents, do your fathers not want you guys to have fun?
Yeah, I know, right,
Come
Dad?
Come on, guys.
Exactly. We're working all the time.
Because seriously, when I do it alone, it's fine. But when we get going,
we get going,
and we go,
and we keep on going and going and going.
We digress just a bit,
yes.
But it's all good.
It is. It's, you know what? And we've both been very busy. So yes. I know your real estate business has been very busy. My real estate business has been very busy. The company, Boston Connect Real Estate, has been very busy. So we've been doing lots of great trainings and all kinds of great things in the office. We know actually recently one of our listeners to our show, actually she was a real estate agent and she called us this week and we had a little interview with her and she's joining our office. So,
you're kidding.
Yeah, so that's great.
Oh, that's
awesome. If you're thinking about joining a new office, we'd love to talk to you about that and all the great things we have going on over at Boston Connect Real Estate. As you know, we're located in Pembroke, which we touch Marshfield and Hanover and Norwell and Duxbury and Kingston. We're just really in a really great location. We just opened Bridgewater. Yes. And Dorchester is soon to come. So we will keep you posted on that. I'm still not used to the new controls here.
I'm not either.
Yeah, it seems a little weird to me. But hey, it's all good. So today, I'm excited about today's
me
show.
Me too.
Yeah.
I am so excited. Yeah. And she is lovely.
And I'm taking credit for this show. Like all me, creds, me. Because it was my idea, remember?
Whatever.
Yeah. Seriously.
I'm sorry, Amanda. Who called you? Who reached out to you?
Yeah. But whose idea was it?
I'm staying out of this one, guys.
And poor Amanda's just like, why did I get involved with these two? So it was a joint effort.
Always.
I always have these. That's me. I'm entrepreneurial. I have all these great ideas, and you're the one who implements them.
And then she flings them out at
yes.
us all.
No, but you know, I listen to WATD. I listen to it all the time in my car. I listen to the morning show with Rob and Lisa every single day. And, you know, sometimes I tell them what the traffic is doing out there just so I can help be my part. And I had heard Amanda, so this is Amanda Duffy, and she is a veterinarian, right?
That's right. Yep.
And she is located at the South Shore Animal Hospital in Weymouth. And you do a little spotlight with Rob and Lisa every other Tuesday at 9:15. So were you on today or are you on next
week? I was on today.
You were on today.
This morning,
So I had a doctor's appointment today. So that's why I didn't hear
that's
you today.
Okay.
I do listen every week, but my appointment was actually at that time. So, and I heard you talking on the radio just about, you know, like dog tips and, you know, just different tips for pets. And I thought, wow, what a great show that would be, because a lot of times when we do our show, Sin, we'll talk about, you know, just sort of, you know, how to stage your home to put it on the market, how to move. You know, we have Bill Bailo on with us. How to pack, how to do this, how to do that, you know, what to do with your children because they're having, you know, sort of anxiety about the move and all of that. And I thought, wow, what about pets? Because we, both of us are dog families, right?
Yes, and I have many a client that are dog and cat families.
So
this is huge.
Yes, and I thought the stresses that are on us, I bet you the pets are picking up on as well because, you know, you're packing, you're moving, you're still working, you have to get the kids back and forth to school and programs, and then there's little Gracie, my English bulldog. I could imagine her through the whole process just like, do you think English bulldogs, I digress through this whole show, Amanda, just so you
That's
know.
That's okay.
They have human eyes. They have like human people eyes.
Because the other dogs have just dog eyes. I'm following you.
Well, they, like a husky has like those sparkly blue.
Like your eyes.
Well, I guess so. But no,
you have husky eyes. You have dog eyes.
Pretty sure Gracie has human eyes. Like she has human eyes.
You were a husky in another life.
Well, she's
life.
The veterinarian. She could tell us. Are there the eyes the same?
Well, I actually think one of my dogs has human eyes, too.
See?
So there you go.
See?
But she's a pit bull, so I don't know if it's just bulldogs or...
Yeah, it's the pit bull, right? A bulldog.
Yeah,
anything with the word bull in it.
Yeah.
They do, right?
You have husky eyes.
I have husky eyes. Okay. Well, I would be a
husky.
Which
are beautiful.
Oh, well, thank
Huskies
you.
Huskies have beautiful eyes.
Yes.
And except for if you had one... Well, no, I still love the blue and the brown together.
Yeah.
But... Okay. You have beautiful eyes.
Yes. So I could just picture Gracie there anyways, just sort of being lost in the shuffle. Like, hey, Mom,
I'm
hey, Dad, like, you're forgetting about me. You haven't fed me. You haven't given me any water. Like, I'm not whining for no reason at all. So I thought, what a great show. So we're going to talk today about the stresses and just what you should be looking for. Top tips,
for
your pets in general. So tips for when you're moving, what you should be looking at. And then just in general, how to make your house pet friendly in your vehicle. I think that that's really important. And I loved your notes because you had a lot of great notes on that too. So, Amanda, why don't you tell us a little bit about you? I know that you're in a department that's very difficult. I've been there. And were you there 3 years ago?
I was, yeah.
Yeah. So my sense is that you probably met my puppy, Holly. Mm. And Yeah. So, well, she wasn't a puppy. I mean, she's always going to be a puppy to me. And you're in the emergency and critical care department.
I am.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about you, your background, where you're from, and all that good stuff.
Okay, thanks. Well, I'm from Texas, but I really love the Northeast, so I'm happy to be up here. And I went to Texas A&M for vet school and then did my internship at VCA South Shore, where I am now. And I knew I wanted to specialize in emergency and critical care, so I did. I did a residency at Colorado State University and then moved back here for my job back at South Shore. And so I have moved many, many times with my pets across country, flying, driving, all sorts of things. But I'm back at South Shore, and I'm the department head of the Emergency and Critical Care Department. And I work every Thursday through Sunday, so busy, very busy time. Yeah. We're open 24 hours a day, so it's nonstop. But
it's
I love it there.
It's a beautiful place.
It is. Beautiful facility.
It is really a beautiful facility. I remember, again, we had to go in there just because our dog, she was older. We actually got Gracie. I was telling you the story off the air how I feel like I rescued her even though I paid for her. But we, my girls who are, you know, they're in college, they're 21 and 20, and they thought we need a transition dog because Holly's getting older. And then we got the transition dog and they loved each other. And then it was funny, it was almost like my other dog, my older dog, almost knew it was okay to leave at that point, but there was like a huge mass in her, like, but had no signs of it. And but I felt like Holly felt like she, you know what, Gracie is gonna keep this family comfortable. But I remember going there and gosh, the staff is just wonderful.
They are, they're really amazing. There's It's a huge hospital, and there's so many different doctors and specialists and so many different staff that all just love animals. So we're all there for the same reason. So, you know, it's a really amazing place to work.
Yeah. Did you have some type of an epiphany when you were young? And what would bring you to the critical care? Because that's difficult in regardless of whether you're talking humans or animals. But you have to be a special person to be able
Absolutely.
To. I'd be crying so much that the people would be comforting me. I'm not kidding. I'm not the person you want to ever call when things are going bad.
I promise you. Usually you're the person that is, we're together when things are going wrong. Right. That's why I'm a little hesitant about the radon, but whatever.
Right.
Well, my dad always reminds me that I always told him when I was 4 years old that I wanted to be a veterinarian. So, and I do remember in career days at school dressing up as a veterinarian, bring all my stuffed animals and things. So I think I've wanted to do it for a really long time. But particularly emergency and critical care for me is really fast paced, and it's different every day. So you go into work, you have no idea what's going to happen. And I really feel like it's a good chance to help people because, you know, it's usually something that they're not expecting. They're not expecting to have to go to the vet that day because something happened to their pet. And you can really just help them out along, I think, with that process. So it's also really nice to see animals that, you know, are really sick get better and go home with their families. And so it's just a great department to work in.
Yeah. And it's not, it can't be easy for you when, I remember the day like it was yesterday, and it can't be easy for you when you're seeing, you know, I was there with my daughter who, you know what I mean? And my husband, and he was a mess. And I was like, stop crying. Like, you're like, you have to start using positive affirmations. Like, she's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. And then they thought I was mean, but that was my way of sort of dealing with the situation because I didn't want to believe it. It's like, how could she be fine one day? And then suddenly she has a football in her. But I can't imagine, you know, even your demeanor now, you're very calm, cool, and collective. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, coming not from, like we would be.
Oh, no, please. No. I can't. I'm not good under those things. That's why I don't do those things. But you know, even from the minute of, I remember, driving our car up and to the people who came out with the gurney type thing to help. They were fabulous. Checking in, those people were wonderful. Like, they all understood that you're going through something. Like, they didn't minimize them. Big deal, lady. It's your dog. Like, you've only had her 7 years. Like, what's the big deal? Everyone was so kind. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that these days, especially, animals are part of our family. And so we all really understand that you're really losing a family member mm-hmm. when the time comes. And so I think everyone there really respects that. And kind of the same thing with moving. It's like, you know, moving your kids and moving your pets and everything. So. Yeah,
absolutely. So I wonder, we'll get into that as well, too. But I'm just wondering and curious, you know, what is maybe the strangest thing that you've ever seen a dog sort of swallow? I know I've seen things on TV like, you know, socks and things like that. So that must be your department when...
It is, yeah. It amazes me what dogs will eat. There are strange things every week that dogs eat. They eat tons of socks, tons of underwear.
Really?
Yes. Actually, this past weekend, we had a little dog that ate, I just learned what these are, but Shopkins, I guess they're a new type of toy, popular
like
toy.
The little Polly Pockets
little
used to be
tiny,
oh, really?
Yeah, this dog ate 12, I think we had to surgically remove from its GI tract. So, but they eat all sorts of things, sticks. The list is endless of things that dogs will eat. Toys, you name it. Snakes.
What about frogs? Because I'm thinking Gracie's been near the frogs lately. So is that probably not good for them, right?
All the time.
No, it's probably not good for them. And especially if they lick, or they can sometimes have reactions that occur with when they sniff and lick frogs. So I try to keep my dogs away from frogs, but sometimes it's just impossible. They love them. They're so curious about everything.
Yeah. The way they hop around and everything, right? So... Yeah, I know. So I will have to keep her away from that. We are already ready for our break. So that first part of it, we just sort of talk a little bit about, you know, who you are and everything about you. So Amanda, thank you again, Amanda Duffy. And she is from the South Shore Animal Hospital in Weymouth. And when we come back, Cindy and I are going to get down and talk real business about moving and real estate and how you can best protect your pets during the whole process. We'll be right back.
Imperial Inspection Services. Complete home inspection services. Radon testing featuring on-site results with electronic testing. Lead paint inspection. Title V inspection. Pest inspection, including FHA and VA. Call 7 days a week. 1-800-440-1141. Or visit them on the web at imperialinspectionservices.com. With 28 years experience in two convenient locations, Braintree and Cape Cod, accepting credit cards for all services rendered. Imperial Inspection Services, 1-800-440-1141. 1-800-440-1141.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Recent uncertainty in the global markets has caused long-term fixed rates to go down. In fact, they are once again at historic lows. Give Fairway Marshfield a call at 781-536-4172 to see if we can refinance your existing loan and save you money. Oftentimes, we can reduce your rate or the term of your loan with $0 in closing costs, potentially saving you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Give us a call today and let Fairway Marshfield show you the fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Mass Branch License 338980.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300. This is Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara along with Cindy Ford. I love last week I said this is Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. And I am like a schizophrenic.
Like
yeah. So we are here again with you this Saturday morning, and I'm really excited about this show. So I really want to get into it. We digressed, as always, the first part of our show, but we have Amanda Duffy here, and she is a veterinarian, and she is in the critical, she's a criticalist, and she is in the emergency and critical care department. She heads that department over at South Shore Animal Hospital in Weymouth. It's a beautiful facility, and you know, just the kindest of people that were there. So I can see it in your personality too. So
thank you.
So you don't do regular vet stuff, huh? Because maybe I bring you to.
I don't do a lot. We have tons of general practitioners that are excellent at our hospital.
Yeah.
I don't see general practice appointments.
Yeah. Well, Gracie's doing fine, anyways. So what we want to talk to you about today, and again, if you're interested. I have to tell you, Amanda is great because I do listen to her every other Tuesday at 9:15. She's on WATD with Rob and Lisa for the morning show, and she gives little tidbits and everything on pets. So what was it today? Were you talking?
We were actually talking about bone and joint health today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Supplements for joints, keeping your dogs exercised and thin. So, yeah, it was a good show.
Well, that might be good. That would be good for us. Can I take the dog's medicine? I had a physical this morning, actually, and this week, actually, and and he asked me, like, how are my joints? I go, I'm 48, like, my knees hurt, I'm losing vision, like, you're making me feel really bad about all of this right now, so. Well, let's talk about some of the situations that come up when you are moving. What are some of the tips and ideas that you have of what we should be looking for in our pets?
Well, I think this is a great topic. One of the things that we sort of mentioned a little bit earlier was stress and keeping the stress down when we move with our pets. Mm-hmm. And it is really important when you have people in and out of the house, movers in and out of the house, and you know, there's boxes going in and out, the doors are always open, to keep your pet in a separate room that's locked or, you know, closed, or a crate even, if they're used to being in a crate. Just because the sounds and, you know, new people can be really, really stressful for them, cats and dogs, and we would hate for them to slip out the door. Or, you know, there's just so much going on during that time period. So,
and maybe you could even have, like, there's so many puppy care centers and things like that now. Maybe bring them to daycare or something.
Yeah,
that day.
That's a great idea.
So we do that for socialization once a week with Gracie, so she can get out there, because we're working. We have empty nest and she's home. The good thing about a bulldog is they have a very healthy bladder, so they don't, you know, they're not, you know, whatever. They can...
Don't have accidents in the house?
No, she never does. I mean,
because
we're good about going back and forth.
She's pretty good about being outside,
yeah,
too.
She's
just great in the driveway.
I know, she just
She really is.
Thing. Yeah, but that would be a good idea to maybe do, and maybe we should get connected. Actually, the dog's den is next door to us. Maybe we can get some little gift cards, and that would be a great gift to give our client, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah,
we love the dog's
that's a great idea.
Yeah, that is. I know. See, Amanda thinks I'm full of them today. She's going to be our guest once a month, by the way. But the other thing too is I was noticing, like, some of the security measures around your pet, but when you were talking, it was prompting in my head that everybody wants to feed a dog. Why is that? I don't know. You know, when we're walking with Gracie, you know, down where we keep our boat, you know, there's a guy that has, like, these dog bones. Well, I'm trying to keep her on a special diet right now, and it's sort of hard to say no, but I can, you know, you never know, like, if the movers are there and they, hey, I want a piece of my sandwich and things like that. So
yeah, absolutely. You have to be really careful these days too, just with all of the different types of food that are toxic to dogs that not everybody really knows about. And when we're moving and, you know, you're just throwing your purse anywhere and everyone's in and out of the car, you just have to be very careful with things like sugar-free gum and granola snack mixes with raisins in them or grapes, chocolate, you know, all of those sorts of things that the dog can just get into if we're not paying as much attention to them as we normally would be.
So what would happen with a grape? Because I know that I had heard that in recently, you know, we were washing the grapes and one fell on the floor, and I said to my daughter, like, pick that up before Gracie, and she's like, she can't have a grape, and I go, no, like, they're not good for them. So what happens with a grape?
So grapes can cause kidney failure in dogs.
Geez.
Yeah, it's really, really scary. Grapes in raisins. And we actually don't know exactly what the toxic component is. So we don't know if it's the skin or the inside. And some dogs can eat grapes their entire life and never have an issue. But some dogs, it can be really life-threatening. So it's very scary.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, see?
But see, makes me crazy.
Yeah, you're speechless.
I'm never speechless because I can't imagine ever hurting my dog unintentionally or anything. I'm thinking, what else can't they do? No, I mean, we don't feed our dog table food, but occasionally when I'm cutting a strawberry or something falls on the floor and he stays near me when I'm cooking in the kitchen because he knows Mama's a good cook.
Yeah.
So he grabs, and before I could get down there, he'll grab something. I don't eat grapes, but so.
Yeah, you have to be really careful about onions too. Onions can be really dangerous.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, the good news about those things is if you bring them in right away, then we usually can make them vomit, and sometimes they need to be hospitalized, but they usually do okay if they're treated right away.
And then when you were saying the thing about sugarless gum, so, you know, there are times, though, you know, sometimes you have parties or whatever, and then there's people around or the kids or whatever, you know what I mean? Every so often, I actually remember pulling a piece of gum out of Grace's mouth recently, you know?
Same
so
with Max.
I'm like, where did you get that?
He got it from, like, it must have fallen out of my pocket.
Yeah.
You know, I had a pack in there, and I got up, fell out, and I said, where did you get? Like, he had a whole pack there, and we got it, but I'm now thinking, what if he ate one of those pieces of gum?
What is it about the sugarless gum?
So it's a component called xylitol, which is the artificial sweetener that they use. And it's not just gum. It's a lot of other sugar-free products out there. So you just have to look. Sometimes peanut butter has it in there. You just have to look at the ingredients. But xylitol is really toxic to dogs.
Well, that's sort of important with the peanut butter. Don't people put that in those bong things? Maybe it's not a bong. A bong would be in Colorado where you went to school.
Yeah.
A bong. They put them in their bongs when they're sitting around with the dog smoking a bong.
They put peanut butter in their bong.
And what does that do,
Ryan,
exactly?
I'm sorry.
What does peanut butter do in the bong?
I have no idea. I truly wish I was a candidate for marijuana, by the way. I think it would calm me down a little bit, but yeah, no, it's not my thing. I like wine. Give me my red wine. I'm sorry. Listen,
tell Ed
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It just comes out. It's a Kong, right?
It's
and I don't even understand why it's called that either. But don't
people. Because it's supposed to be like King Kong, like you can't destroy them. And Max takes one bite and they're done.
But don't people stuff peanut butter in them, right?
Yeah, they do. And I think a lot of the peanut butters are okay. You just have to be careful.
That there's no.
So Jif and Skippy.
Xylocloate, whatever that is. None of that beginning with a Z.
No.
Don't give it to them.
Just Jif and Skippy. You're fine. Just do that. Yeah. And then when you're using the bong, that's peanut butter crackers or something.
We do actually see a lot of dogs with marijuana toxicity, too.
Oh, yeah. You know.
Get out.
The time.
Yeah. So
like poor dog is stoned?
Every week.
Really?
Really?
Do they eat it? They find it and eat it?
They do that, or
they
eat
don't smoke
the brownies, or if there's marijuana butter being used to cook, then they'll get into the butter.
Never even heard of such
all
a thing.
All sorts of things. Yeah.
Marijuana butter.
Why?
I think, well, I'm not an expert. I just say that,
well,
okay?
You went to school in Colorado. Yeah. I mean, come on.
But I think people use it to cook, you know, to make cookies and brownies.
Oh,
I think that's what they do. They first put it in the butter,
I think.
That's what I hear.
Well, I have a funny story about, well, maybe I shouldn't say it. Anyways, marijuana brownies. An older person got into somebody's.
No.
Yeah, the kids had made some marijuana brownies
not
and put
your
them
kids.
In the refrigerator. Not my kids. My kids, yeah, no.
No.
And the older aunt actually got into, like, older, and she got into she saw brownies, and she had a brownie, and she thought it was the best thing, and they found her acting a little strange, so they had to bring her to the hospital, and she's like, well, all I had was a brownie, and they're like, oh, no, and so they had to tell their father, like, P.S., Dad, that was a marijuana brownie.
So, poor auntie,
but she's fine. She did well. Yeah, no, I, you know what, and it's funny too, because my daughter goes to school up at St. Mike's up in Vermont, and she was telling me a story about there was a dog up there that somebody had, you know, off campus, and they got into some marijuana up there too, but the dog got really sick from it.
Yeah, they usually need to be hospitalized, but they can, depends on how much they get into, but it can be very dangerous for dogs.
Seizures, right?
Seizures. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh. He had, so the boy that owned the dog had his went into the roommate's room and ate a bag of pot and no one noticed, and then the dog started having seizures. So that's our tip for the week. So if you keep your marijuana around, make sure it's not near your puppies. We have all kinds of tips. No peanut butter with that other stuff in it either. No, but the grapes and the onions, especially too. And then we were talking sort of silly, but frogs and snakes, I mean, they can, what? I mean, I don't even know. I mean, we have a snapping turtle. I'm pretty obvious why I don't want my dog near that. But the frogs, is there something in a frog when they eat it?
Yeah, so it's actually on the outside of the frog. So all they have to do is lick the frog. And there's this chemical on the outside of the frog. Not every type of frog, just some toads. And it can cause them to be really nauseous and to hypersalivate. And it's actually not life-threatening. It usually goes away with time. But the clinical signs are pretty scary.
Yeah.
And it can just be irritating. So, and yeah. Then snakes, luckily in this area, we don't have a lot of snakes. But but especially in Colorado, we had dogs that had snake bites a lot.
Gosh.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's just, if they eat a snake or a frog, you know, it's probably not going to cause too much harm. Apart from maybe just some gastroenteritis. But
and what about bees and things? I remember one of my dogs actually stepped, because we are on cranberry bogs and there were like honeybees there, and they say they don't sting, but she stepped on one. I mean, dogs can have the same reaction as a human.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially this type of year, a lot of allergic reactions. And, you know, we never really know. Some people actually see them get stung by a bee, but most of the time it's a bee sting, wasp sting, spider bite.
Oh, yeah.
And their faces can just swell up and they can get hives and
so they
can get allergic reactions, definitely.
Yeah, so we were talking about moving, but it looks like we brought up all the seasonal things that can happen, and just I think everyday things that you have to sort of be looking out for.
Yeah,
you know, as you're you know, when you have your dogs around, when it comes to moving, other than, you know, you already mentioned about having the movers not in the area, but if you're, what are some of the other suggestions you have, like, all right, now we're moving into the new house, what are the suggestions? How do we introduce the pet to that?
So one of the first things is make sure that you go around and inspect the house for anything that could be dangerous. So you really kind of have to dog-proof or cat-proof a house, just like you would for a child. But especially a house that you're not too familiar with, one of the things that I always look out for is rat bait, rat poison that the previous owners could have left behind. That is, you know, I'm not exactly sure why, but dogs just love to eat those little blue pellets, and that can be very, very dangerous. So, and then of course, you know, the grounds too. So if there's an electric fence or, you know, any sort of fence, making sure that everything's intact and that it's safe, and not really letting your pet out of that more confined, safe area, whether it's a crate or a room, until, you know, you're all kind of settled with all the boxes and everything inside.
Yeah. And one of the things I saw was when I was Googling some information too is, you know, for you to sort of move in first, and then when the dog comes in or the pet, I want to talk about cats as well. I just don't know much about cats, but, you know, that at least they feel very familiar, like at least with the furniture and the smells and everything like that. So that must sort of comfort them as well.
Yeah. And in whatever container you're moving them in, and it is best to keep them in a crate when you're moving, even though when we're driving, we want to, I want to always have them on my lap and all of that, but it's just so much safer for the driver and for the dog to stay in a hard, and cat, hard, well-ventilated crate. Never in the back of a moving van, never in an open bed truck, and never in a car that's not running and not on. Even on a cool day, the temperatures can really, really heat up in the car. So, you know, all of those things are really important.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I was thinking about as well is when you move into a new house, in especially this time of year. So, Sin, let's just take, for example, if I had purchased your house or you purchased mine and we brought one, you know, our dogs, I don't know what chemicals you use on your lawn, you know. So is that something? Because I know that we have Chris Weppert, who joins us on the show. He's a regular host of ours, and he works for Yearlick, which is formerly Watch All, and they do a process on my lawn for mosquitoes and things like that. And then we also have processes like to keep ants away and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, but it's all natural, which I love. So it's like rosemary and just some, you know, some spices and herbs and things like that. So I guess that that's a good question to ask the person when you're purchasing a house. Because what will happen to the dogs?
Yeah, absolutely. If there's ant bait around or, you know, dogs are so curious, especially in a new environment, that you just really have to keep a constant eye on them. But I love the all-natural treatments for yards. I think those definitely are the safest for dogs. So it is a great, great question to ask.
What if you have a cat that is an outdoor cat that can come in and out? Because I do have a lot of clients that do have that. And now you've brought this cat, you know, and a lot of cats don't go outdoors, but you bring this cat to the new house. At what point do you let it outside? Because it may, or are they that smart that they know that this is a new environment and to stick close, or could they wander off? Or how does that work if you have a cat that... Most dogs are confined because there is leash laws in town. So that really doesn't happen. But cats, I do see in our neighborhood a lot of cats out and about.
Yeah, we do have a lot of indoor, outdoor cats in the area. What I would recommend is keeping them inside for at least a week to 2 weeks and making sure that things like, you know, the litter box, if it was in the bathroom in the old house, keep it in the bathroom in this house. Keep the feedings the same. If you normally feed them twice a day, make sure you're still feeding them twice a day the same food. So try to change as little as possible for them. And cats can get very, very stressed with change and have behavioral changes and urinary issues and all sorts of things. So I think, and I don't have a cat either, but I think if I did, I probably would go out with it for the first, after a first couple of weeks, go out maybe for the next couple of weeks, and then maybe just let them venture out on their own.
Would you use like a little leash? I mean, so that they don't, because cats are quick.
You look at me, I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know, neither one of us have, but do you bring it out on a, because you know, it can just get spooked or something and go, right? And
yeah, I think they're ultimately, I think their sense of where they are is probably better than we think, but it's still really scary just to let them out.
Yeah,
some cats love being on leashes. I don't understand why, but I think if you have a cat that would tolerate that, that's a great idea.
Okay.
Do cats get ticks? I know that might
they
be.
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, they do.
I just don't even know.
Yeah, they don't get Lyme disease like our dogs do, but they can, again, have other tick-borne diseases. I think the pathophysiology of the actual Lyme bacteria just doesn't do very well in cats.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I actually heard something interesting, too, over on Nantucket. They want to, there was a scientist who, young kid, actually, I saw him on the news, and he said with the, you know, Lyme is very, you know, it, there's a lot of Lyme over in Nantucket, but there's a certain mouse that they're, the same thing, like it isn't affected by Lyme, but it has something to do with the ticks being on the mice and all this other stuff. So their solution is to make a mass produce a bunch of these mice and then set them free on Nantucket, like 25,000 a month. So I thought, hopefully, I don't know why that doesn't sound like much fun to me. So when we come back, we have to take another break so we can get all of our commercials in there for all of our other co-hosts and everything. Yep. So we want to listen to those. But when we come back, we're going to be talking more about preventative tips that you can make to make sure that your pet is safe during travel and during your move and all of those great things. So we'll be right back.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Recent uncertainty in the global markets has caused long-term fixed rates to go down. In fact, they are once again at historic lows. Give Fairway Marshfield a call at 781-536-4172 to see if we can refinance your existing loan and save you money. Oftentimes, we can reduce your rate or the term of your loan with $0 in closing costs, potentially saving you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Give us a call today and let Fairway Marshfield show you the fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Mass Branch License 338980.
Plumbing problems are inevitable. Sad to say, do not fix it yourself. After all, that's your home you're living in. McNamara Plumbing. New construction, renovations, repairs, service calls. McNamara Plumbing, fully insured. 781-294-7100. McNamara Plumbing.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300. This is Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara, and you are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. We are both from Boston Connect Real Estate, located here on the South Shore. If you're thinking about buying or selling a house and you would like for you to meet with me and Cindy, feel free to give us a call.
Maybe call and not ask for Sharon at this moment.
Yeah, I know. Don't call now. Yeah. Well, I have my coffee. I gave up coffee. But Mary picked me up a nice coffee, and I'm feeling a little jittery, I'm not going to lie, because I gave up my coffee.
Yeah, in the afternoon, too, it makes you even...
Yeah.
You don't need that, I'm just saying.
No, I don't need that. I absolutely don't. So again, we're here with Amanda Duffy, and she is a veterinarian. She's a criticalist at South Shore Animal Hospital in Weymouth. She's the head of the Emergency and Critical Care Department. She is, you know, very mild, and I just love that. It makes sense to me that you're in this department and that you're sort of in charge of it. So we're talking about different hazards when people are traveling, and off air we were talking a little bit about what do we do when we have to, if we're moving from another state and there's a long travel, you know, in a car, or if you have to take an airplane. What are some of your suggestions, and what are some of the things that you've seen recently? I know you had, you don't have to give us the exact example, but what to watch out for.
Yeah. Well, if you can, if you have a small pet, then try as hard as you can to keep them in the cabin with you. Mm-hmm. That's my number one piece of advice if you're flying with your pet, because it is a little worrisome to keep them in the cargo area, especially for really, really long flights. If you have to do that and you have a bigger dog, then I would try to break up the trip, you know, as difficult as that may be, just to give them a break and make sure that they have water. And then the other thing we have to remember, and a lot of people just don't really know, that if you're traveling across state lines or if you're flying with your pet, you need to have a health certificate. And that process can actually take quite a while. So it takes a little bit of planning and some time, but you have to go to a veterinarian that can issue a health certificate and have your pet examined. So just make sure you give yourself enough time to do that.
Do all the BCAs around the country offer that health certificate?
Yeah, most of everyone that I know does. Not all the veterinarians do, because you have to get a special license for that, but we definitely have some veterinarians at our hospital that can do that.
Oh, good.
Because you could, even driving across state lines, if you get stopped, you could get fined for not having
really?
One.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
so
interesting.
That. Yeah.
Well, we travel with our dog all the time. I mean, we bring Gracie up to Vermont with us a lot, because our daughter goes to school there, and they're very pet friendly up there. We were talking about different hotels, and we stay at the Sheraton all the time up there, and they're very pet friendly with her there, but I didn't realize I was supposed to have a certificate.
Yeah, for most states. So you could check with Vermont and see if they're a state, I don't know offhand, that requires one, but yeah, it's definitely worth checking into if you're going to be traveling a lot.
Yeah, so it's probably best to have it anyways, because even if I have to go through New Hampshire to get to Vermont,
you're lucky.
I mean,
the next time you do this, you're going to get stopped.
Absolutely.
You know that, right?
I'm just saying. All right, well, I'll
now
get a certificate.
You know.
I'll just get a certificate, and then we'll be all set. So are they good for just like a year to year?
Yeah, a year.
Is it similar to, you know, when we bring Grace to puppy daycare, or if we have her groomed, they always want to have like some, you know, notice from, you know, the veterinarian that she had all her shots and everything? Similar?
Yeah, it's very similar to that.
All right, that's good to know. The other thing I saw in your notes too is I wonder if a lot of people sort of forget to do this, but you know, people have those chips in the dogs, like, and it has like their, like, it's like a geolocator. You make sure you change the address.
Absolutely.
Yes, we did that. Yep.
Yep, microchip. So a lot of people are doing those now when they spay or neuter their pet. They're automatically putting them in.
Yeah.
Or if you have the a collar with tags, which is, I like to have both, especially when you're traveling places with your pet, but just make sure that you call and update that information. I've definitely forgotten to do that a couple of times, and you know, then it's pretty much useless because they have your old cell phone number and all of that. But it's easy to do. It's just a phone call.
Yeah, we had to. Well, with our rescue, his chip had him in somewhere in New York at a vet or a shelter somewhere. So we had to do that and change the address because if he ever got, that's where he would end up, or they'd call and they wouldn't know where we were. So
the microchips are great. Every time we have an animal that is brought in that was found, you know, that escaped out of the backyard or whatever, the first thing we do, and probably most veterinary hospitals do, is scan them for microchips. So.
And two, you just have to make sure to go to your town because you have to register your dog with your new town to get the new tags and all of that too, right? So the town halls, wherever you're moving, you want to make sure that you're updating all of that information as well. I know that they ask for all of that information. One of the things, what Cindy brought up, a very, very good point, and this is, I guess, more based on real estate as well, is when we are helping a client sell a house and they have an animal, or if we're working as buyer's agents and we're going into a home that has a pet, what are some of the things that, what are your suggestions for people? Because we can tell you what really happens, but what are your suggestions that people should be doing with their pets? Or I've been at open houses, you know, I'm there for 2 hours, well, 2.5, you know, you're there a little early, you're there a little late, and this little dog is in a crate. So what are your suggestions?
Yeah, my suggestions are try to get them out of the house because it's just too stressful for them to be in a crate for that period of time if they're not used to it. And then also just hearing unfamiliar voices walking around their territory can be really, really stressful. So normally if they're in a crate for the day while you're at work, it probably is just going to be more stressful for them having strangers in the house. So if you can, and I know, you know, it takes a little bit of planning too, but if you can have them out for that period of the day or take them to doggy daycare for the day, that's probably ultimately the best thing.
Yeah. I like the whole doggy daycare. We're really going to have to talk to the dogs then about that, you know.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe they want to do some commercials here on the weekends too, so they can get some other clients. They do a great job with Gracie, I know that, and they're right next door to our office is.
Love them. Max goes there for the whole day to play. Like, he goes to be groomed, but they do him at the end of the day because he has so much fun there.
Yeah.
Loves going there.
And they have a Facebook page, and then there's Gracie who's hanging out with two huge German shepherds, like she's like one of them, you know what I mean? So, and the dogs like it for socialization. I mean, I can imagine with the pets, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, you're busy and you're moving and you're packing and your priority is getting everything in boxes and the kids and still maintaining work and everything else. The process can be stressful, and that's one of the things we try to do as real estate agents is take away some of that stress. But I think it's really important that we have to remember our four-legged friends as well, you know, so.
Because we treat them like family.
Oh.
We really do.
Oh, yeah. I probably treat Gracie better than Mark. I mean, I seriously.
I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, I cook for my dog. I don't cook for my husband. there we go. I mean, he cooks for me every night, and I appreciate that, though. He's really good at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. I have a video of him making something fabulous.
I know. I used to cook, but you know what? I'm working a lot these days. What about some of the other things that, you know, maybe like some suggestions, maybe like an overnight bag or something like that? We talk about that. I mean, that might be a good idea just to have everything ready.
Yeah. It's really nice to have, if you do an overnight bag, which I think is a great idea, make sure that you have bowls, bottles of water, and then also it's really nice to have something that smells like you or smells like home. So just a blanket from home or maybe one of your sweatshirts. Sometimes at our hospital when we have animals stay the night, which is pretty frequent, owners will bring in, you know, some of their clothes from home, just you know, scents that make the pet feel comfortable. The other thing too, you know, that's always an option if you have a particularly stressed pet, it are considering medications that anti anxiety medications that maybe just take a little bit of the edge off. So, you know, those can be really, really useful that day or that week of moving. And they're generally pretty safe, too.
And what are the signs that we would look at to recognize that our dog is getting stressed or our cat? Like, what are the signs?
I would say if they're hiding a lot in an unusual area, or if they're just less sociable than they normally are, if their appetite is decreased in any way. And then sometimes you can just see physical signs where they're kind of hunched and shaking and those sorts of things. But I would just say if anything's off from their normal behavior at home, then it's possible that it's just affecting their health. Yeah. And even though it's for a short period of time, you know, some dogs can get diarrhea when they're really, really stressed. So, you know, it can turn into a more significant issue if it's not dealt with.
Yeah. And I think that that's important when you say that. I mean, because, you know, most people just, you know, we open up our door. We do have one of those, you know, electric fences. We'll talk a little bit about that too, what your thoughts are on those. But, you know, we can just open the door. So I generally don't even know what my dog's, you know, if she has diarrhea or not, you know what I mean? Because I'm not out there with her. But if you're, I know we were talking off air, and one of your suggestions was when you do move to a new home is to go out with the dog and walk around the perimeter and maybe the neighborhood and everything else. Mm-hmm. So they're familiar with it too. So if they do get out by accident, you know, they're a little familiar with it. Might be a good idea to introduce them to the neighbors and things like that too. So if they see,
if he gets out by accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've all had that. How many times have our dogs
been? Oh, my God.
Yeah, have you seen that she's out in the cranberry bogs or something like that? But that's another thing. Let's bring up that. I mean, being familiar with the area that you're in because of just different environmental concerns. So we're talking about lawn care, but we're on cranberry bogs. They're not harvested anymore, but those men were wearing hazmat suits. So when your dog can get into that, you should be very familiar with exactly where you're moving to.
Yeah, definitely. The environment is really, really important. So toxic plants in the area, you know, lots of plants are toxic. That's one thing that always scares me because I don't, you know, when you move to a new place and there's a garden there or, you know, the previous owner has planted flowers, you don't necessarily know what each one of them are and whether or not they're toxic. There's a lot of good websites that you can go on to.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, how do we know which ones are and which ones are not?
Yeah, and if you Google toxic plants then to pets, then you can find some great websites that'll show you pictures of flowers and things like that. So that's one thing. And then also just making sure that there's enough shade, especially in this warmer weather, because we've seen a few heat stroke cases already and it really hasn't been that hot out, but the temperature change. So, you know, if you're moving in the summer and or you're moving to a warmer area, the temperature change and the fact that the pet probably isn't acclimated to that can be very dangerous. So
what about dogs? I mean, we obviously don't want our dogs in our swimming pools, but, you know, is the chemicals in the pool, could they have reactions to that as well?
If you have a saltwater pool, which I know, you know, not everybody does. Oh, yeah. Do you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The salt can really cause dehydration and vomiting and lethargy and those sorts of things. So if they're in the pool, they're probably drinking some of the water. It's not great for them to drink a lot of chlorine either. So, you know, I love seeing dogs splash around in water anyway, so I think it's fun, but everything in moderation, and you just have to be careful, especially for little dogs that may, you know, not be great swimmers, that
A bulldog that, no, she's a barrel and with these little legs. But she only fell in the pool once. We were right there, and she literally just, like, fell in, you know, but we were there, and right to the bottom.
There was
not even any paddling.
Oh my God.
To the bottom.
That's so scary.
Then Mark was in there and took her out, so she doesn't go near the pool anymore, but she was a puppy at that time, so she hadn't been near there. But she loves when we go to the beach. Like, we're beach people, so we always, whenever we have a new puppy, we always introduce that puppy, whether it's winter or summer or spring, no matter time of year it is. And we bring them to the beach. Well, we had Shar Pei's that loved the water, so which is not a normal thing. What are some of the things that we should be thinking about? I mean, maybe some people are moving to this area that aren't familiar with being at the beaches. What are some suggestions for those people?
The beach is actually, I love taking my dog to the beach. It's such great exercise, and the sand is such nice footing. You know, just talking about bone health and joint health earlier today, is such nice footing for them, and swimming is actually one of the best exercises for them. But you have to be careful with the salt water if they're ingesting a lot of it, and you have to make sure you have water with you. And then you also, you know, my dogs root around and they eat God knows what on the beaches. So we've definitely had some severe gastroenteritis cases because of whatever they're getting into on the beach. So
And I know too, we, you know, would frequent the spit a lot, and if you've ever been up on the North River, you know, when the tide is changing, it's pretty dramatic how the, you know, what the wave, the water is doing. I mean, the current is very, very strong over there, and I know we would like sit on the beach, and you can't have dogs on the beach anymore over there, but we would hide her under a table so she was nice and warm, I mean nice and cool. But I always see like people allowing, like, their, I mean, we've never had a lab, so I know that they're very active and they can swim well, but I remember vividly this, you know, one, it was younger kids, you know what I mean? Like, not kids, but 25-ish, I guess, but they were out there with a dog, 25 to 30, and they kept on, like, throwing a tennis ball in, and they were letting the lab jump off the boat, like, in the current. And I thought, like, you could see the dog swimming really well, but at some point, the dog is going to get exhausted doing that.
Yeah.
And then other boats coming by, dogs don't know.
No, and, you know, that's something, that's a really important point to point out, that dogs, especially labs and dogs that just love to please, if you throw a ball out, they're going to get it no matter how exhausted they are. Mm-hmm. So you really sometimes have to make those decisions for them and notice that they're getting too tired and you probably should stop, because they'll just keep going and going until they drop.
So. Yeah. And they have, you know, life jackets for dogs and everything too. So we've always had those, but we can't find one that fits Gracie. But and Gracie is not a dog that likes to please. She's a bulldog. I mean, she is such a little bully. I think I know where they got the name. I mean, she just does her own little thing with her little human eyes. That's all I have to say. So you did hear the doorbell so quickly. That gives me a minute to just say that if you are thinking about doing any open houses this weekend, you can find all of those open houses over at bostonconnect.com. And if you can't get into them this weekend because you're going to be celebrating some quality time with Dad, please just feel free to give us a call at the office at 781-826-8000, and Cindy and I would be more than happy to bring you and have a private showing with your very own buyer's agent at any of those open houses.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So in closing, what are some of your bigger suggestions and the most important things that people should be, tips that people should be thinking about right now?
I think right now, one of the biggest suggestions is if you're moving, you need to make sure that your dog or cat stays in a cool place, in a cool environment. Don't let them get overheated no matter where they are. If it's the car, if it's in your house or your new house, maybe you haven't turned the AC on. It's so, so important. And then also, make sure that they always have access to water, and just try not to forget them. You know, it's so hard. I mean, I forget a lot of things when I'm moving because there's so much going on, but just try to make sure to be cognizant of where they are at all times, their stress level at all times, and is there anything you can do to just make them more comfortable?
And too, I would think that, you know, dogs, if you're not paying attention to them, and I was telling you off air that, you know, one of the things I do for all of my clients, the day of move-in, we send pizza, you know, how many people are going to be there, we send pizza and water and soda and, you know, all of those things, you know, salad and some desserts over, because you really do forget. Before you know it, it's, wow, is it 4 o'clock? It would be very easy to forget to, you know, to feed your pet. But I loved that suggestion as well, is, you know, feed them the same exact food. Have that little bag of food ready for them and feed them at the same exact time. So at least there's a little bit of a schedule for them that doesn't get them upset. But you had so many great tips today.
I'm
so happy that you joined us.
Thank you.
Can you give us the number for the BCA in Weymouth?
Absolutely. It's 781-337-6622.
And one more time.
781-337-6622.
Perfect. And you were listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. Sorry to cut you off there, Sin. And this was Amanda Duffy, and she is a veterinarian, and she is a criticalist. Fabulous to have her here. She is in charge of the Emergency and Critical Care Department over at South Shore Animal Hospital in Weymouth. We hope you never have to see her, but if you do, I have a feeling you're going to be in the best of hands.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Amanda.
Thanks,
Amanda.
You.
Thanks.
Thank you.